Blog Talk Radio.
Smart Sound.
Hello again and welcome to the Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen in Studio A and Studio B. We have Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, how's it going tonight? How you doing?
I can't complain, Don. Beautiful night out here. Things are turning around and a lot of stuff going on nationally, internationally, and et cetera. And we get started with our guests. Let me make a suggestion, though, that let's say at about the 15-minute mark, we indicate opening the phone lines in case there's any questions anyone may have of Mr. Tittle or ourselves about, you know, what that 15-minute discussion has been. So just giving you a heads up, Mr. Tittle, at about the 16-minute mark on your clock, we'll indicate we're opening the phone lines. But go ahead, Don. Let's kick it off.
Well, I'm happy to say tonight that we have let me get him on the air first here. Mr. Alex Tittle from Hennepin County with us. And before I hand it over and ask him some questions, and I just want to let people know, I saw an article in the Star Tribune that says Hennepin County hires director to reduce racial and other disparities. And I had to look at that, Mr. Edwards, and say, okay, hires director to reduce racial and other disparities. Now, on average, I think, 2017, Hennepin County spent $1.9 billion for people 12 to 21 services. That was their budget. And, you know, from 2008 to now, about 11 years or so, from the first report that I started looking at, you know, we're looking at close to $17 billion over that period of time. So my guess, Mr. Alex Tittle, I guess my first question is, you know, I want you to come on, introduce yourself, tell us what you do there with this role. What this role is, but I want to address some other issues. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don and Ron. I definitely appreciate the opportunity to sit down with you guys and kind of talk about what Hennepin's got going on these days. So definitely appreciate the opportunity to know that you've got a lot of listeners, and Hennepin County appreciates the opportunity to use your platform.
Let me ask you this. What is the vision of Hennepin County?
The vision of Hennepin County?
Yeah, as far, you know, like every agency, government, let me be specific. Every agency, any government agency has some websites or some things up or some documentations that have their missions, values, and goals. There's overreaching goals or overarching goals and things like that. And you as the director of the disparity reduction director, what does that mean in collaboration with Hennepin County?
Sure. Well, let me just kind of start by, you know, kind of introducing you to who I am for your listeners who may not know or hadn't read the document or the newspaper. I'm Alex Tittle. I'm the Director for Disparity Reduction. I've been on board with Hennepin County for a little less than 2 months now. Came on board from the Super Bowl and respectively from the came over from the Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority, where I served as the equity director for a U.S. Bank Stadium construction project. Hennepin County, obviously, is one of the, I believe it's the 33rd largest county in the country, as some of your information is probably reflected. Speaks to about 9,000 employees. My role with Hennepin County that I've been hired to work with is to help Hennepin develop a strategy to address the disparities, racial disparities that exist, not just in Hennepin, but from across the country. But obviously this is some leadership that our administrator and leaders have recognized as being challenges within the county, and they want to address them, more so address and reduce them to the point where we can create some parity amongst, you know, people of color versus their white male counterparts. You know that there's a drastic difference between employment, a drastic difference amongst income, and those types of things that you hear about being talked about across the country. Hennepin County is taking leadership to say, you know what, we've got challenges and we need to do something about it. So what they've done over the past, I'd say, 2 years or so, our county administrator and leadership have taken a deliberate effort to try and take a look at themselves, look at how what their practices are and what their challenges are, and try to create some or suggest some mechanisms that can combat some of those concerns, those issues that are allude to disparity across a number of areas. And those areas that they've broken Kennepin County down into are about seven, and they call them seven domains. And if you could have seen the chart, we developed a gear-type chart, and they have seven different domains that Hennepin County recognizes that actually function within the county, and that's employment, education, income, housing, transportation, health, and justice. All of those areas have some challenges as it relates to racial disparities, and it's our job. I say our because I don't recognize myself coming in waving a magic wand and fixing any of these issues. However, it's going to be my job to sit down with the subject matter experts at Hennepin County, assess those different areas, and help identify challenges around disparity, and hopefully develop a strategy to address those different areas that we come up with. At this point in time, I'm in an environmental scan perspective. So I'm, as in any new job that I've come to when I moved to Minnesota a number of years ago, I've got to conduct an assessment. And right now I'm assessing these seven different areas that I just mentioned. So in summary, the county recognizes the adverse consequences of disparity amongst us and supports disparity reduction among our residents. The graphic that I'm talking about, the seven gears or the seven disparities can affect and how they are all connected in some way. So we look at them not just in seven domains, we look at them as seven gears. And as you know, gears are kind of interconnected. And if one gear doesn't turn, none of them turn. So we recognize that employment is tied to housing. It's also tied to income. And it's also tied to our justice system and health and everything else that people traverse the challenges that are inherent at Hennepin County and some of our areas. And you probably already know what our main four areas are, from public safety, public works, health and human services, and then we have operations. So those four areas are kind of our larger umbrella, and those seven domains underneath those.
And so,
So basically, in a nutshell, my job at this point is to help Ken Hennepin develop a strategy to address these areas. And then, of course, at a certain point in time, we're going to begin engaging the community and begin implementation of these strategies. But at this point in time, we've got to, one, identify the challenges, identify the disparities, suggested and backed up with data and those types of things, and then, of course, address these disparities through policy and those types of things. So in a nutshell, as David Huff would always say, it's taken years. I'm talking probably hundreds of years to create these disparities. It's not going to happen overnight as to how we reduce them. So my job is to kind of get the ball moving and putting Hennepin in an advantageous position to where we can start addressing them and start reducing them.
Okay, what is going to be, do you think, will be your biggest obstacle in getting to your goal?
Well, I think right now is, as I'm assessing things, Don, the biggest obstacle right now is really understanding Hennepin and how it works. As you well know, I used to work at the Department of Transportation and the state, with the state government. And big difference, brother, really big difference between the state and Hennepin. Clinton, in my opinion, is a bit more complex than particularly the Department of Transportation. And as I talk about these seven different domains, a lot more complicated than just transportation or just administration and contracts. We're talking the health system. We're talking the justice system. We're talking, transportation in addition to housing, a number of other areas that are inherent, that Hennepin has a major responsibility in.
Okay. I want to let our phone lines will be open at 845. That number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. And the lines will be open at 845. Mr. Edwards, please.
Oh, certainly. Mr. Tittle, a couple of questions that we probably should have asked you at the very beginning, and that is, because we have both a worldwide and domestic and local audience, I want to familiarize people with regards to who Hennepin County, quote unquote, really is. Let me get some clarification. Number one, you said just a couple of minutes ago that Hennepin County is 33rd in the United States. Certainly not in geography, if you will. So they are 33rd in regards to what? Could you just educate our audiences on that?
Sure. When we say, I wouldn't say necessarily square footage or that. I'm talking about population for the most part.
Yes. Well, wait a minute. Let me back up a little bit. Hennepin County is ranked in the top 40 as it pertains to our population. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, as far as largest in size and population, correct.
Well, when you say size, we want clarity and specificity.
Area.
Let me ask you a question within that context. Your relationship as it pertains to the state of Minnesota is that you have the boundaries of Hennepin County, which actually is a small-sized county geographically. Let's say if you compared it to St. Louis County up in northern Minnesota. So you have the boundaries of Hennepin County. Then you have the boundaries of the Met Council, which a lot of people outside of Minnesota probably doesn't know anything about, particularly legislatively. And then, of course, you have the boundaries of the state of Minnesota. In some of these areas, particularly and I'm fascinated by transportation, in the areas of light rail, mass transit, and et cetera, what is your relationship, to the best of your understanding? And you previously were with the Minnesota Department of Transportation, so you are well endowed, if you will, to answer this one. But what is your working relationship expectation with the Met Council?
As we well know, Met Council being a quasi-state organization, Hennepin County recognizes Met Council as a partner, just as it recognizes the city of Minneapolis and the like. As far as my understanding, we partner in the major areas around public works, environmental, transportation, and the like. So there are partners in what we do. We have contractual agreements and relationships that we share.
Okay, and so let's take a look at the area of your actual title, and that is dealing with disparity and et cetera. How does the Met Council and the county work together, and at the same time deal with any understanding, if you will, policy and otherwise, with regards to some things they may want to do that are not necessarily within the portfolio of the county? I mean, is there some kind of joint management team or something that is at play? I mean, how do you deal with that? And where I'm really coming down is I'm watching a lot of construction go on with our light rail, and particularly light rail. I mean, that's a big fiscal item, big everything, if you will. And the last two sessions of the legislature, it's been a little tense over there, particularly with the Southwest Rail and et cetera. Do you have any joint powers agreements as it pertains to the construction of light rail, as an example, coming into Hennepin County, and particularly in the area of diversity and ending the disparity? How do you address that?
Well, what I will say, and understand this too, Ron, I'm new at Hennepin County, so I'm not completely versed in what relationships we have, what specific relationships we have with Metropolitan Council, Metro Transit, those types of things, those types of relationships. So I'm not 100%, so I can't necessarily answer that question. As it relates to disparities, though, the disparity effort, this is relatively in its infancy. It's very new. Right now, we have not partnered in any formal way. We have not partnered in any formal way with Metropolitan Council or any other municipality. However, not yet. It's my intent, after conducting an environmental scan and understanding exactly what challenges that are inherent to Hennepin, is to begin working with our partners. And it doesn't mean that I'm not open to talking to them either. We also recognize the fact that we're not the only county. So it's also my endeavor to partner with organizations in Minnesota, to partner with other municipalities across the country who have all begun in this area.
Okay.
Some of our local
We're having some problems. I don't know if it's the electronic device you're on or if it's on our end, but we're getting repeats. But Mr. Allen is the technician. We need to check that because it's not fair to Mr. Tuttle. But I've noticed in the last minute and a half we were getting some feedback, if you will. So maybe we can clean that up, Don, okay, so that Alex has a clear and concise reflection in our worldwide audience. But go ahead, Mr. Tuttle.
Okay. And just in a nutshell, as it relates to the transit system or the Metropolitan Council, what I can say is that we know that we have to work together. Bottom line,
all right,
we have to work together with Metch Council to build a regional transit system to help people move, and that's the bottom line.
Right.
That's what they are
right.
charged to do, and that's what we also have a responsibility to.
Okay, let me ask you this question, Ms. Tittle, because this is important to our worldwide and domestic audience. Give us the pecking order. You know, oftentimes in the areas of, you know, correcting problems of diversity and et cetera, individuals come in and they get buried, I mean, to the extent of what the pecking order is and going up the ladder to let, quote unquote, your superiors, your bosses, particularly in that you are employed by an entity that is run by elected public officials, seven, if I'm not mistaken, seven county commissioners here in Hennepin County.
Right.
Who do you report to directly, and who do they report to?
I report directly to both Chester Cooper, who's the chief operating officer at Hennepin County, as well as David Huff, the administrator for Hennepin County. And, of course,
right, now this, now, Chester Cooper, is that the former Chester Cooper, University of Minnesota, and law enforcement, or is this a different Cooper?
That is correct.
This is the Chester Cooper that many of us knew many years ago as a top-notch law enforcement and sheriff's deputy for Hennepin County. Okay. And now Mr.
Yes,
Huff is who, or is it?
Chester Cooper reports to David Huff, who is the administrator for Hennepin County,
and Mr. Huff
David,
reports
that is correct.
Okay, I got you. Okay, all right. All right,
the commissioners report to their constituents.
All right. I think that's good. It gives certain people that are listening, is that, you know, what institutions are these guys talking about? you know, what is the effect? Now, by the way, Mr. Cooper is an African-American, correct?
That is correct.
That is correct.
Yes.
Unfortunately, there are no persons of color on the 7-member County Board of Commission. So that makes your task sometimes a little bit tougher in making them understand and have a sense of understanding what the importance of dealing with racial diversity, racial animus, and et cetera is. I don't want you to comment on that. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm making the observation as a longtime resident of the state of Minnesota. It's been a tough call for quite some time if the sensitivity is there. Obviously, you accepted the job, and you must have guaranteed yourself that the sensitivity was there. Did you have that feeling, and were you interviewed by any member or committee of the board prior to your hiring? Could you, or
I was
can
not.
You discuss that? You was
I really can't discuss that, but bottom line is I was interviewed by David Huff and Chester Cooper.
Oh, by Mr. Cooper was brought in, okay, to help in that. Okay. Mr. Allen, let me turn it back to you, and then I will have some additional questions for Mr. Tittle. Thank you, Mr. Tittle.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
Well, I'm glad to have you back. Alex, you know, my cynicism about this, not necessarily your position, but just at this direction, and I think in some levels you can agree with me, over the years, many years, at least since 2008, we started the show in 2009, every year, I mean, I think 2008 and 2009, there was a housing juggernaut that was going to address racial disparities. In 2010, 2011, I think Hennepin County via the state, when Governor Dayton distributed $100 million for homeless veterans. And I know the county had a big push to eliminate, you know, homeless veterans off the street here in the county. That was a big thing. And I know the housing thing kind of fell flat. I guess my point is we've had a lot of repeats. And, you know, people say that you got to take risks, that you got to do this and you got to do that. I get my question is, do you see a point where if things aren't going right, if things are going to turn out based on the title and the job that they gave you, that you're going to let us know and you're going to make an effective move to move yourself from a position of being a scapegoat or anything like that?
Well, I won't necessarily even try to address the fact that I anticipate that that could be an option. I will say that this is real. I've been in communications and I've known David Huff for almost 10 years now. And I've seen some of the challenges that he's been faced with. This is not the flavor of the month. This is not the soup du jour. As you can tell by my bio and my background from the work that I've done in the past, Don, I'm not in the habit of aligning myself with losing teams. We are always positioning ourselves in a position where we can plainly see success. What I've noticed during my assessment and my communication with David Huff and the rest of the leadership team is that Hennepin County is committed to doing this work. They're prepared from the leadership level to the actual, you know, tactical employee. Folks are excited about this. Folks are engaged right now. They're proposing a lot of ideas and suggestions for me to consider. Obviously, they know that there have been inherent issues and challenges, and they're ready to get deep into the water to figure out how do we get around it. As you well know, oftentimes policy and those types of things get in the way. The red tape of government organizations such as this, they normally get in the way. We've got a bunch of committed professionals that work alongside me who are committed, and that's not just David and Chet. We're talking about the ACA, the Assistant County Administrators like Mark Thompson and Jennifer DeCabellis and Carl Massad and of course Chet Taylor, Chet Cooper. they are committed to this work. From communication perspective to doing some things differently, because we've tried some things and they know what possibly works and doesn't work. So they're open to trying things differently and they're listening to me. And the staff and my colleagues at Hennepin County recognize the difference, is that their leadership is open to trying something new, which is exciting. And I wouldn't put myself in a position where I thought that we would be in a position to fail, that we wouldn't be serious about the work that they brought me in to do. If that weren't the case, I probably wouldn't be working at Hennepin County. Just like I saw when I came over to the stadium. At the time, Ted Mondale was dead serious about making sure that this was, that the equity program was seriously responded to, and that they were going to hold Mortensen accountable. The Super Bowl, the leadership there, Maureen Bausch and David Hasselman were serious about the supplier diversity program with the NFL, and they wanted to see amazing results that were first in class, and they weren't looking to pilot something with somebody who wasn't serious about it. So that's why they brought me on board. We found success in both of those areas.
Oh, no, go ahead. But see, with that said, and, you know, I like you, I'm your associate, and you're a good guy, and the reason why I asked that question is because I want to segue to black people, the community, okay? Are you getting any support from the community, and do you have any community partners? And the reason why I asked that is because my experience has been in the community. If I don't have a bottle full of snake killer with me, I'm going to run into some bumps. And so I'm asking you this to see if are there solid partners with a plan. I mean, I've seen agencies, I'm not even going to call them out on this particular with you live on the phone. I wait till you get off the air to do it. But I've seen agencies that, and this relates to what you're doing in Hennepin County a little bit, that say they support and they want to make sure that family, that homeless kid, black or brown, going to K-12 is supported, has the resources they need, and their families and everything's okay. And I listen to these agencies. I read everything because, you know, only 13% of the people in the United States basically can comprehend this kind of stuff and get into it. And it's a shame because we need to become a nation of readers. But I guess my point is that I've seen glossy magazines put out by one agency once or twice a year. I've seen really elegant annual reports to the tune, just to put them together, were $25,000, and maybe to print up some glossy magazines, $30,000-$50,000. And I haven't seen much back put back in the community other than these huge galas where they turn in the to back padding, you know, who did this, you know, well, thank you, you're great. And every year these two particular groups give the same people the Black History Month Awards, Trailblazers, or whatever they call it these days. And I guess my original question is, do you have any solid black organizations, black partners, men, women, groups that you look forward to engaging with or that are supporting you right now from this point moving forward?
To be perfectly honest with you, Don, I haven't engaged any organization per se. At this point in time, I'm specifically looking at Hennepin County internally. I think the best approach is to try and get our house in order to understand what our house has. Because, as you well know, Hennepin County, and you used to be a consultant for Hennepin County. Hennepin County has a lot of partners and a lot of contractual relationships. So trying to get an understanding of who's already at the table with Hennepin County, who's already a trusted partner, who's been working with us for years and that type of thing, we're going to assess and evaluate those relationships throughout this environmental scan. But what I would say this is, Don, is that, you know, I'm looking for all partners, including yourself. I'm looking for folks who are reading, who are paying attention to the bylines, and who are watching the ebb and flow of the successes and possibly even the failures that unfortunately succumb to that Hennepin County succumbs to. We got to get better, and we're going to need the community to help us do that. The residents are our customers. The residents are the ones who we are responsible to. So we have a obligation to do what's right by the resident. And as a resident of Hennepin County, I wouldn't want someone who wasn't serious at the table. So all those organizations that you may not have mentioned, whoever they are, we're looking for them to take us serious. We're looking to them for partnerships. We're looking to them for solutions. We're looking to them to help us through this effort. And I call it an effort and not an initiative or a program, because what we're looking to do is create a system that's woven into the fabric of everything that we do. So we're talking through all those seven different domains to ensure that the people serving, the community that we're serving, are getting the best service possible and not being discriminated against due to racial or any other disparity or any other reason.
All right, Don, we're at the top of the hour. We have another half hour.
Yes, we are.
Mr. Diddle. And what I want to do, because this is kind of like what you call a court case, Mr. Diddle, who, by the way, you did not let our listening audience know that you are a veteran of the United States Army. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, 10 years.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
And do you carry the rank with the captain?
Yes, sir, I did.
I thought I remembered that in a conversation with you some time ago. Yes, okay. So Mr. Tittle has a very patriotic background and et cetera. Now, you kind of opened the door a little bit, because the county, in making the determination to bring you aboard, certainly had to be impressed with the relationship and the service that you provided to the state of Minnesota as it pertains to the People's Stadium, now known as First Bank. And you kind of opened the door there a tad for a couple of questions. Mr. Allen was asking you a series of questions about what friends, supporters, and et cetera that you will have in this endeavor, that being the county. But clearly you had supporters and et cetera as it pertains to the stadium, if you will, the largest, as if I remember correctly, the largest, public state project in really the history of Minnesota, better than $1.4 billion, if you will. Now, just a couple of questions. We are in the African American community, and you pointed out, and I thought that was very respectful, that Mr. Allen at one point certainly served as a consultant to Hennepin County on some of these matters. So you and he certainly have had some reflections and discussions, and kind of understand each other's philosophical thinking. Now, that takes us to a meeting Mr. Allen and I were at back in 2011. Very cold night, one of the colder nights in the last 20 years or so. I think the wind chill got down to about 57 below that particular night. But we were there, and a couple of individuals, one of them was Ms. Velma Corvell, of the Minneapolis Civil Rights Department, and a lady from the Met Council, if you will. And it was a rather interesting meeting. The attorneys in there were there. There was a very nice turnout given the sub-zero temperatures. Now, a lot of things were being said at that meeting in 2011 about the future preparation of the People's Stadium, if you will, which you had the historical opportunity of presiding over that part of it that dealt with opportunity for the depressed communities of our beloved state. One of the things that came up, and this is kind of the catalyst for where I'm going with this question, was Mr. Allen, who is a veteran of the United States Army, didn't achieve the rank that you did, Mr. Diddle, I mean, but he was a grunt. But anyways,
but he served.
Allen,
but he
raised
served.
A question.
But he served.
Oh,
yeah,
certainly, sir. God bless him.
I love the woods.
Yeah, and God bless all of those of us that served the United States of America. So he asked a question about commitment to veterans on the project, the People's Project, the Viking Stadium, if you will. And he was given some numbers at that time, and I remember Mr. Allen contested some of those numbers with some of the same philosophy that they used here just minutes ago, that the numbers that were being given by the representatives of the Sports Facility Authority, which had just been anointed by the county, excuse me, by the state, did not seem to be achievable, but everyone was assured that they would be. Now, at some point in time, you were required to put together an annual report. And what I'm going to refer to on this occasion, and hopefully you're by your computer, was a report dated December 31st, 2014, a report of equity and et cetera. And being able to hire more than the 4% veterans that was reflected in the article of December 31st, 2014. I mean, were those some of the problems that you'll be confronted with in Hennepin County, or will that be something that, based on previous experience by you, that it will not be as much of a tough task as it was in 2013 and 2014. You remember that report, don't you? You remember that report of December 31st, 2014?
I do somewhat remember it, Ron. What I remember about it and the challenges inherent to veterans, and you're referring to the workforce, correct? The workforce participation numbers. As opposed to the spending. Now, the challenges inherent to U.S. bank stadium around veteran participation is and will continue to be an issue for all of us when we're trying to count veterans. In many cases, it's similar to ethnic minorities and how they recognize themselves or how we recognize ourselves as well. It's all volunteered information. So as a veteran, and I think Don and of course you, Ron, you recognize that when veterans attempt, I would say 10 years ago or even farther, veterans have been in a position where we are a little reluctant to let employers know that we're vets because there was a stigma related to us that we're Asian orange and all that stuff from Vietnam.
Just to tell, I don't want to cut you off, but we have only so much time. I really hadn't heard that kind of argument, if you will, since the Vietnam War, as America's sons and daughters were returning. But, I understand what you're saying because historically, and unfortunately, there has been that kind of bias against American veterans, and it's interesting to hear you. To hear you say that. By the way, one of your more pristine assistants was a Mr. Donovan Jones. Is Mr. Jones still around, or did he join you at the county? Is he still around?
No, he's not. He moved out of state.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yes,
because in looking at the report. Hell yeah, which I did. Let's get the call, and we'll get back to Mr. Tittle. Go ahead, caller.
Caller, you are live on the air. What's your name, and give me your question. Hello, caller, you're live on the air. 7679, don't make me tell people you...
Oh, okay, give us the prefix so we have an idea where these people are calling from. What was that number again, 76?
The last four was 7679, but it was a local Minneapolis. So
okay, all right. Let me get back to Mr. Tittle on some additional things. We've heard a lot of discussion here, particularly during the construction of the People's Stadium, that this was a economic windfall for the African American community. And at page 18 of the document, one of the things that was very impressive was the number of hours that were being worked as of the December 31st, 2014. You know, you had achieved, well, the stadium had achieved almost 1 million hours. You remember that? And those numbers, if you will,
yes,
back
sir.
In 2014.
Yes, sir.
919,798. Now, I'm looking at, and this is information obtained from the Minnesota legislature and the special committee chaired by Senator Champion and Representative Young Lady. Those were some tremendous hours. And so my sense is, and by the way, you mentioned Mortensen, but we really didn't mention also Thor and also Ryan, the Ryan company.
Thank
because
you. Thank
everyone
you. Thank
enjoyed.
You for that.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, I you know, I have the in fact, it's, Ryan, scope of work overall, theirs was very interesting. But when you talk in terms of the number of hours, and if you could you, what was the effectiveness? Mr. Allen has, my associate had asked the question, and I kind of understand where he's coming from and et cetera. But at the same time, I'm operating from documentation. Could you kind of enlighten us on what was the effectiveness of the VSC group, the Viking Stadium consortium, if you will? Were they effective with you, Mr. Tittle, in helping you meet the goals, if you will? In fact, at one point their goal was 19%. Ultimately, the commissioner of the State Department of Human Rights said that it was going to be as much as 36%, 32%, et cetera. And in your report of December 31st, 2014, it indicated clearly a significant happening, if you will, with regards to the percentage of quote-unquote minorities, protected classes, and et cetera. But the VSC group, could you just indicate your recollection of how well did they serve the mission that they said that they were embarking on behalf of the community? Do you remember that?
I'm trying to get my hands wrapped around who the – you said BSC, Bravo, Charlie,
no,
Sierra?
Victory, VSC, Viking Stadium Consortium Group. Do you remember that?
That must have been the design group, maybe, because I don't recall that group per se. It's been since 2016 since I was, you know, deeply immersed into that project, and that particular group doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, because you were basically on point. So let me give you the introduction that was made that night or that afternoon at 2101 Plymouth Avenue North at 4 p.m. The VSC, I guess V was for Victory. it is the aim of the Viking Stadium Consortium to create access and to promote the professionalism and technical, architectural, and engineering services of its contractors, in other words, and its associates. So that was the group, and I remember many individuals that were in the room and were talking in terms of what was going to be happening and et cetera. That group fits the description of kind of the question Mr. Allen asked. Do you have any – were they effective, if you will, particularly when you look at the figures that were also produced by Thor and Mortensen and Ryan with regards to the many categories? I mean, these pie charts are outstanding that I have had provided to me by the Minnesota legislature. That was a specific group, and I well remember I was in the meeting. I well remember their declaration of what they intended to do and et cetera. And so, in line with Mr. Allen's questions and et cetera, can you kind of certify them as a group that followed up their mission statement? Because what I read was their mission statement, if you will, and it had a lot to do at some of the meetings back in 2012, 2013 of the committee. And by the way, you were talking in terms of Ted Mondale, and I don't know, I think Mr. Allen may have let you know at one point or time that he and I met with Mr. Mondale early on in the process.
Okay.
And I'll never forget, he made a very patriotic statement to some patriots, that being us, about what he would do to guarantee the presence, if you will, and the participation of African Americans and others. Good old Ted, I will remember that. And then old Mr. Allen remembers it. So, but to the VSC group, are they something that you would attempt to use as you begin to craft and shape what it is that you intend for the county to be able to do to provide the necessary success to bring, quote-unquote, the citizens of color, the African-Americans, Native Americans,
sure,
et cetera, into the full flow, the full economic flow? Because we are hearing so much about how well things have gone. And when you talk in terms of almost a million hours, as an example, of employment on the People's Stadium and et cetera, we should have all kinds of little small African-American, Latino, and et cetera companies that are ready to go. That's one of the reasons I asked you the question early on about light rail. So could you just kind of go back again in your mind, this VSC group, if you will?
And I hate to do this to you, Ron, but I joined with the stadium in 2013. So I was not present when that particular event took place. However, if I think I hear you correctly, you're referring to the design consortium that
I read off.
The design consortium that came together. And it was under the leadership of a gentleman who happens to be the president of the National Association of Minority Contractors right now. And his name is Keith Baker. Keith Baker, along with a number of other individuals, developed a group of professional technical organizations that were aimed at being a vital part of the design effort around at the time, the multipurpose stadium. That type of effort is definitely going to be open to Hennepin County. As you well know, or Don has been reading through some stuff, I'm certain you guys have picked up the fact that the SBE program, we're doing that right now, where we're bringing in small business enterprises to the table. And that those are going to be nimble and ready and flexible to do work on various projects in Hennepin County. To allow for these for minority businesses, women businesses, and the like to have equal footing in competing for work at Hennepin. So Hennepin is already doing some amazing things right now.
We have a call.
Hold it just a minute. We've got a call. We want to give priority to our callers. And by the way, before you put the caller on, just so Alex knows, I'm also working from a document, a very sensitive document from Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights Contract Compliance Division third quarter report. And I think you well remember this report, Alex, July and September of 2016. But go ahead, Mr. Allen, get that caller in because we're looking at a lot of information. Go ahead, Mr. Allen.
Yes, caller, friend of the show, Ms. Dean, Ms. Lisa Marie, hello, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Okay,
can you hear me?
You have to turn your computer down. Yeah, I can hear you now. This is not a Verizon commercial. Welcome to the show tonight. Haven't heard from you in a while. Do you have a question for our guest or the host?
Well, I do. I have a question for the guest. One thing I want to say is that I hear about you a lot in the community, and on the show, on the Ron and Don show, but I wanted to know specifically what your role was in the community as far as in relation to the African Americans, and specifically from your perspective. And again, my other question, my follow up question with that is, in relation to the sports organizations, how can community organizations partner, or is there some kind of community relations department that works with the community organizations so that they're role models in our community? How does that work? And working with African-American women in the community and their organizations, if you can say anything about that.
Sure. If we're talking specifically about the stadium or the Vikings in that for that matter, I can't speak directly for them, but at this point, because I don't work as an employee for those organizations any longer. However, what I will say is that yes, there is a community engagement or community affairs office for both the Vikings as well as SMG, the stadium management firm. And those organizations, they are serious about engaging the community from a business perspective as well as employees. They also engage the, particularly the African American community around sports and that type of thing with our youth programming. So there's free opportunities for our youth to engage U.S. Bank Stadium around football, around flag football, those types of things. And they offer that to folks in our community, because I know that for a fact, because I've been part of the discussion and ushered on many of our, particularly North Minneapolis, youth programs at U.S. Bank Stadium. So that's definitely a possibility. Now, as it relates to women or African-American women, I would like to tell you that there are our U.S. Bank Stadium is open, just as they are with everybody else. They're open to doing business and working with folks. I would encourage you to reach out to
absolutely. But let me do this because we only have 7 minutes. I want to help our caller because you touched on a sensitive issue, and I am making reference from documents that were certified and given to the governmental body. You know, there was a lot of opportunity obviously being afforded to the communities of color, madam. Let me give you a quick example. This is from Thor and Mortenson Construction. Thor is one of the companies building pretty on 10 at Plymouth. Let me just give you the scope, if you will. This is from Thor and Mortenson, Mortenson and Thor, and then there is a second document from Ryan. Just in the area of supplies, madam, Mortenson spent and purchased over $28,749,677 in supply. And
okay.
Trucking companies and et cetera were paid over $10,000,000, $693,428. That was the scope of work. There is also information. This document is in the archives. I would suggest that you may want to go to the website of the Stadium Authority or the Minnesota Legislature or the Minneapolis Civil Rights Department, because it indicates a significant windfall, for the African-American community from these specific areas. And let me just conclude with this, that even in the case of Ryan Companies, if you will, and here was the footnote, Ryan Companies targeting business. So it appears that you were asking the question, if I'm mistaken, correct me, of how, you know, resources, opportunity, and et cetera was being funneled to the communities of color and et cetera. And it's right here, you know. Ryan Companies did $1,210,291 just in supplies with regards to communities of color. So it's one of the reasons I've always said, madam, that we obviously must have done real well with regards to the construction of the People's Stadium. The documentation is here. Mr. Tittle clearly knows the documents I am referring from, and specifically the report of December 31st, 2014. And I certainly thank Mr. Tittle for providing that information to the general community and et cetera. And we talked about it on these programs, and we're trying to figure out where the organizations. Let me do this also. It's important to get information to those that are sensitive enough and committed enough to call and ask the question. We would refer you again. You can access this from the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights, Contract Compliance Division, if you will. And at the back of the document, if you will, you will see the names of the many companies that said they were minorities, African-Americans, and et cetera, and the awards and dollars that they said that they got. Again, Ms. Dean, this document is the property of the City of Minneapolis, but is on record, on file, and in the archives. Again, I will identify it for you. Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights Contract Compliance Division, third quarter report, July-September 2016. At the back of the documents, you will find all of these companies that were affiliated with the African-American and other communities of color. Contract awards, NDE, actual, if you will, WBE, that's for the women and et cetera. So I would encourage you, and maybe after you find the document, feel free to get back to us next week. Mr. Allen, let me turn it over to you as we finish up with Mr. Tittle. I certainly appreciate him taking the time because we've taken an hour of his life, if you will. But Don, why don't you go ahead and wrap it up?
I appreciate you being on the air with us tonight, Al. So I didn't know it was going to go the whole hour. I should schedule a show for an hour and a half. Next time I will. But thanks for all the information. Is there any last words you want to get out? A number of people can call if they need information besides 211 or anything like that. That's probably for the city anyway.
Right. Well, I would encourage folks to reach out to Hennepin County. I don't have our number handy, but I would, obviously Google it. Can reach out to us, but I would also like to just state that, Hennepin is, as we look at disparities, we're not necessarily saying that we haven't done anything right? And that's not what the county wants to portray. A part of my strategy would be to help organizations identify some of the things that we've done well. There are pathway programs that are set up to engage the community, to bring them on, to be a vital part of our employee network. There's a new SDE program that we've approved that's going to be spearheading by our purchasing department over the next few months, and it's going to allow for businesses to come in at a level that they could handle. So not mm-hmm. necessarily just opening it up to multi-million dollar businesses and things like that have also plagued the opportunity to level the playing ground that Hennepin County's spearheaded that within our purchasing efforts. So I just wanted to say that, Hennepin's doing a lot of great things. The effort around disparity reduction is to help us improve the landscape or the ecosystem at Hennepin.
Mr. Tittle, let me on behalf of our team, thank you for taking in the time. And I know that your family is happy to get you back. Thank you again, sir.
Thank you, and take care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Edwards, have someone. Thank you. I do have someone sitting here who's been on hold for a while. Just got on 1 minute and 44 seconds ago. Caller, you're live on air.
Go ahead. Put them on.
Yes.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you guys tonight?
We have 1 minute and 38 seconds.
I just want to say congratulate you guys and for keeping up the good work, for keeping our community informed that your program is important to us. And I think that sometimes it's underestimated the value of information that you guys and the wealth of information that you guys provide to our community. So I just called to tell y'all that keep up the good work, and I incredibly enjoyed tonight's program.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Nelson, and we appreciate the sincerity and the respect. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, guys.
Mr. Allen, I guess you can wrap it up. Let James Brown take us on home, man. All right, then.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Ronda Downs Show. We'll be back next week. Here goes James.
We've been big man talked about. As you and you bone. But just as you, as it takes you eyes to make a pair. Brother, we can't quit. Until we get our share. Say it loud.
Say it loud.